This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Ricardo Komotar. Dr. Komotar is the professor and program director at the University of Miami Brain Tumor Initiative. He directs a number of programs at the University of Miami. He's a renowned neurosurgeon, well-respected. Dr. Komotar, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. First, thanks for having me, Scott. Really appreciate it. It's a terrific program that you have. So my name's Dr. Ricardo Komotar. Just like Scott said, I am professor and program director of neurosurgery. I've been here at the University of Miami for 9 years, directing their brain tumor program. I am a brain tumor specialist who treats all types of brain tumors, malignant and benign. And we've built up one of the country's best programs here. We're super proud of it and look forward to speaking about it.
Thank you. Talk a little bit about, so brain tumors, malignant brain tumors, certainly still one of the hardest things to sort of solve in healthcare. Neuro-oncology is still very difficult morbidities, very challenging. Is it ever hard? Is it ever daunting to keep at it in a field where you can make great impact, but it's still so hard, depending on when a person presents to you and how far along they are and so forth?
Yes, correct. And I think that is definitely one of the challenges of surgical neuro-oncology. And I think it's important for anyone going into the field to remember it's about quality of life. And that goes for any type of oncology. Any cancer doctor will tell you that if you lose focus, that you're not centered upon quality of life, that's where you can run into some serious problems. These are very difficult patients, like you said. They have a lot of difficult prognoses that they're dealing with. And as long as you focus on quality of life as a surgeon and as a doctor, it's not just about getting them extra time, which of course you want to do, but you want to maintain or at least improve the overall quality of life. And if you're focused on that, and patient and family satisfaction, then you'll do great. If you're focused on anything other than that, then you're going to have a very difficult time in this field.
And talk for a moment about quality of life, because this is so challenging too, because you have to hit this great balance of, do you do surgical efforts or not? If you do surgical efforts, you could possibly remove the tumor, but if you touch the wrong piece of the brain, then you've gone the wrong direction of quality of life. I mean, what a challenging balance act all those issues are, aren't they? And how did you study for that? How do you prepare for that and so forth?
Sure. You know, I think one of the biggest things is to have a dedicated team, which is what we have here at the University of Miami, because brain tumors, especially ones which are malignant, are not that common. And so if you're fortunate enough to focus on that field and able to do hundreds of them a year, your team becomes more efficient, we become more efficient, and the outcomes improve. So knowing who needs surgery, when do they need surgery, when to operate, how far to go in the surgery, when to stop, all of that careful balance between the morbidity of the surgery and the quality of life and the overall prognosis, all of that just becomes much more favorable if you have dedicated specialists. So for me, that's all I do. I don't do any spine, I don't do any vascular, I don't do any trauma. I treat 100% brain tumors. And we are fortunate enough to have one of the largest volume brain tumor centers in the country. We treat over 1,200 a year. And so we've looked at our learning curve, and just like anything else, you become more comfortable taking care of these patients. So, you know, many of our patients, I would say most of our patients go home on the day after surgery. Some patients even go home the day of surgery. So we've started doing outpatient brain surgery. And I think, again, having that streamlined system really benefits the patient, so they're not in the hospital a long time. And the complication rate is well below 5%.
Magnificent. And take a moment, Dr. Komotar, talk about the training to be a brain surgeon today. I remember when I was younger, people that I knew that were going to be neurosurgeons, your residency, fellowships, really, you're not really finished with residency and fellowships and truly into full practice till 32 or so. What's that actual timeline? And how do you decide at one point cranial versus spine? How did you decide at some point to go one direction versus the other?
Sure. So training for neurosurgery is, so you've got 4 years of college, then you've got 4 years of medical school. When you finish medical school, you have to do a year of internship. Then you do 6 years of residency. So that's 7 years after medical school. And then most neurosurgeons nowadays specialize. If you don't want to specialize, some people don't do a fellowship and they finish 7 years after medical school and they do general neurosurgery. But the way that the field is going, everyone is subspecializing spine, functional, trauma, vascular, peds, tumors. And so if you want to specialize, then you have to do a fellowship. The fellowships are usually 1 to 2 years after that. So you're looking at 8 to 9 years of training after medical school. And the thought process of what to specialize in typically happens at some point when you're a junior resident. So you don't really know what you like in neurosurgery as a medical student because you haven't seen much. When you become a resident and you're finally in there operating and you're seeing all of these conditions, then typically when you're either a second or a third year resident, you gravitate towards one part of neurosurgery. And it doesn't mean that you hate the rest of it, but just typically one part of neurosurgery really grabs you. And for me, it was tumors. I started taking care of tumors when I was a junior resident. And those are the surgeries which I enjoyed the most. Those are the patients that I thought we could help the most. And so that's the field that I chose. And so it's a long road, but I would say that anything worth doing in medicine, as you know, they're all going to be about the same length. You know, it doesn't matter if it's orthopedics, if it's plastic surgery, general surgery, cardiothoracic, general medicine, specializing in cardiology, all those end up being 5 to 8 years regardless. And so it's a long road, but it's an incredible profession and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And a magnificent thought on it. I mean, literally, it's 33, 34, 35 then by the time you're really done with training. But really, the training's a journey. It's not just not an end destination. It's all the way through that you're thriving and adding value and having impact on people's lives in a big, big way. Talk about the current program in a few points of pride. I mean, you started to mention 1,200 surgeons a year, a magnificent team. Talk about when you think about the team, you think about what you do there. Your great points of pride in it.
Yeah, I would say that I am most proud that we offer brain tumor care at the highest possible level. I was not confident back when I first got here, but I can confidently state now that the brain tumor program at the University of Miami is as good as any brain tumor program in the world. Based on our numbers, based on our outcomes, based on our multidisciplinary team, based on our clinical trials, our novel technologies. And I'm delighted to be working with such superstars. You know, when you build a world-class brain tumor program, it is far from just the surgeon. You need to have dedicated medical neuro-oncologists. We have 4 of those. You need to have dedicated neuroradiation oncologists. We have 4 of those. Dedicated neuropathologists. We have 2 of those. You need basic scientists. You need, you know, federal funding. You need to have a world-class cancer center behind you, and we have that. So I'm just proud of the team that we built, the quality of care which we provide, and our patients do great. And like I said, we always focus in terms of quality of life over quantity. That's by far the most important. And it's a very patient-centric institute, which we have. And we're always focused upon targeted medicine and overall patient satisfaction, which is key.
Magnificent. It's a fascinating perspective on it because, you know, as you and I know, in the malignant brain tumor world and area, depending on how advanced tumors are, mortality rates are still very, very challenging. But if you could really focus on that quality of life, not just duration, you're really making a huge impact on that patient and their family's lives. Dr. Komotar, what advice do you give to people aspiring to medical careers, aspiring to be neurosurgeons? What do you tell them? What advice do you give people?
I mean, anyone who asks me, and I get asked often, I say it's the greatest job in the world. I remember growing up, and I decided to be a neurosurgeon at a very young age. I was in 9th grade, and it really made the entire process easy for me. I knew from the time I was in ninth grade that I wanted to be a brain surgeon. That made high school easier. It made college easier. It made medical school easier. It made residency easier because you know what you want to do. And so what I would tell people who want to do neurosurgery is that do not even think about the length of training. Do not think about the long hours, because both of those are very true. But the sacrifice pales in comparison to what you're able to do on a daily basis. The impact that you have as a neurosurgeon on a daily basis on people's lives is unlike any other profession. And it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, you know, we all would love to have a profession where you make an impact on a daily basis, where you make a difference. You know, if you go to work and you're not making a difference, what's the point of that job? And so what I love about neurosurgery is that every day you're making such a tremendous impact in the lives of these patients and their families. And so it gives you a real sense of purpose when you go to work, and the satisfaction you get from helping these patients is, it's very difficult to kind of describe unless you're in medicine and you've helped people directly in medicine. And so I tell people it's worth every single moment of studying. It's worth every little bit of sacrifice. And in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, it's the greatest job in the world. It's amazing.
No, simply magnificent. And I have one of our kids who's pre-med listen to your discussion on it. He's always wondering in terms of the cost versus the benefit of going all the way through. And she's always anxious about it, always nervous about it. And I think it's just magnificent words of wisdom and encouragement. Talk for a moment about deciding in ninth grade that this is what you wanted to do. And we hear that from people, and we hear it not that in often. People decided early, this is what they want to do, and then they really stuck to it. And different than me, who wanted to be a pro athlete with no athletic skills, you wanted to be a neurosurgeon with great surgical skills, so it worked out. Talk about being able to make that decision early and how impactful that was.
Yeah, I think that most people don't decide till later. So, you know, I'm not saying that everyone needs to decide by ninth grade what they want to do for a living. I mean, that's very, very rare. I was lucky to have that. So I would say that, again, just to set the record straight, most people decide later. It's fine to decide later. I was fortunate enough to find my passion at a very early point in my life. When you find your passion, and that can be medicine, law, business, whatever, art, it doesn't really matter. When you find your passion, you just got to go all in. And I think that's the take home point. Don't settle for, oh, my parents want me to do this, or, oh, this sounds cool, or, oh, I heard this was cool. You need to find what you're going to love doing and never settle. If you think something is okay, and then you think about it and you realize it's not what you love, change professions, because life is too short. Work takes up way too big of a part of it to not enjoy work. I always tell people that I've never worked a day in my life. I mean, you know, I come to work and I don't need to look at my clock to be like, when am I out of here? This job is terrible, which is what most people in this country do, is they go to work, and when they get to work, they can't wait to kind of leave work. I would say that most people who do neurosurgery, if you ask them, they absolutely love what they do. And that's like the unifying characteristic. In order to be good at anything, again, sports, you know, any profession, you got to be passionate. It's not just about natural talent. And so I really encourage people who want to do neurosurgery or really any surgical specialty, make sure you love it, because it's not worth going into for any other reason. And if you do love it, just go into it full scale and don't even think about the sacrifice, because it's worth it 110%.
Magnificent. It really is. What a great way to go through life and a great way to look at it. You've got great passion for what you do. It's impactful to your community and your patients and University of Miami. I want to thank you, Dr. Komotar. We'd love to have you on and get a chance to visit with you again. Just a pleasure hearing what you're doing and your passion for what you do and what you've all built at the University of Miami there in terms of a neurosurgical program. Magnificent. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Scott. Pleasure to be on, and happy to be back anytime you want.